Let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians, book of Colossians, chapter 2. Last week, we looked at two sections of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, the first part of that, and regarding those men in the ministry of the Spirit, one great, great key was that it says we preach not ourselves, but who?
Christ
Jesus the Lord. It's Jesus Christ that's Lord. And we're looking at this, and we're going to continue to look at it a little bit more this morning in light of the one body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which we read through, Jesus Christ is referred to as Lord, I believe it's six times just in those opening verses, down to verse 10. There's no question that God has made Jesus Christ Lord. He is Lord. That is paramount to really understanding how this one body works. And that's what we're going to consider this morning. You know, I made a few statements last week regarding sometimes some things that come up, and we see some of this in the books of Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians especially. Some of the divisions that came up. And those are things that are addressed because they had sort of walked away from Jesus Christ as Lord and made it about men. You ever hear such a thing? It happens. See? But once you go down that road, problems always ensue. They always ensue. God, in his wisdom, set Jesus Christ as Lord and set Jesus Christ as head of the body. That's it. Okay? So, in light of that, let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I just got to get my fingers to work. Here we go. And I want to pick it up in verse 8. You know what? Let's start in verse 6. Verse 6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware," or watch, "lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men," after, or according to the rudiments or the elemental principles of the world. And those principles of the world are all rooted in flesh, in the flesh. And, well, let's keep reading here. And we know who the god of this age is, who the god of this world is. That's right. And so these things are rooted in those. So it says, "Beware, lest anybody spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after or according to the elemental principles or of the world, and not after Christ." Verse 9, "For in him," in Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," or you could understand this as the divine nature, God's divine nature. You know, when Philip said to Jesus Christ, "You know, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." Jesus Christ said, "Have I been with you so long time? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." See? Jesus Christ manifested the Father. Isn't that beautiful? Anyway, verse 10. "And you are complete." You are complete, or completely filled in him, which is the head of all principality and power, or the head of all rulers and authority. Jesus Christ is head. "In whom also You are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. Of the sins is not in any critical Greek text. So you would more accurately read this, made without hands in the putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And that's identification. Really, these are great identification verses. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith or the believing of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. See, that believing in the power of God who raised him from the dead, which is what marked him out as Lord. And you, verse 13, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And, verse 15, having spoiled principalities and power, this should read, having spoiled the principalities and the powers. It's kind of neat. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. All right. It's all Christ. This is all Christ. We have what we have because of Christ. We're in Christ. We're buried with Christ. We're circumcised. Everything we have is Christ. We're complete in him. We're completely filled. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. These were sacred calendar dates under the law. Okay? I don't think anybody's going to get us to observe the Passover, and which would cause us to feel less than righteous if we don't. But where we're getting here, it's things pertaining to the flesh. See? Then it says, verse 17, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. The body is of Christ. That's the real thing. Those other things are nothing, really. The body is of Christ. Do you understand? Those things kind of pointed toward what Christ would do. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility or a self-prescribed humility. It's not true humility. You know, it's the world calls it humility. You know, where one, you know, debases themselves or they deprive themselves or, you know, those kinds of things. But it's false. It's false because it's denying Christ. See? It's denying the true God. Isn't that something? But it looks to the world. You know, look, I fast twice a week. Kind of like the Pharisees. See? But it's that false humility, and it's not Christ. It's not what God's accomplished in him. True humility is recognizing what God has done and recognizing how great he is and how awesome he is. See? And that I have what I have by the grace of God. That's humility. In a nutshell. Anyway, so let no man beguile you of your reward in a self-prescribed or voluntary humility and the worshiping of angels. See? Really, it's just religion. It's prescribed religion that's really rooted in the flesh. Intruding into those things or stepping in things. Which he had not seen. Oops. Vainly puffed up by his what? By his fleshly mind, see? And here it is. And not holding the what? See? Those things will follow when Jesus Christ has not held his head. See? You wind up in trying to perfect the flesh. Or you wind up in, you know, exalting a man or whatever, and exalting his flesh. Do you understand? Those things, when you don't hold Christ as the head, it doesn't end well. It just doesn't end well. And not holding the head from which or from whom all the body. King James is a little, it reads, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. It is supplied and united through those joints and bands, or those joints and ligaments. See? It's united together with the head, who is who?
Christ.
With Christ. Isn't that something? See? So we don't allow ourselves to get tricked or to get beguiled, by this false humility stuff. It's Jesus Christ that's head. It's just beautiful. It's so simple. There's a great verse in Corinthians. We're going to turn there, but Paul says by revelation, he was concerned that they would be deceived from the simplicity that's in Christ. The simplicity that's in Christ. It is kind of simple. It's magnificent. It's awesome. It's breathtaking. But it's simple. He was our substitute. And without him, I got nothing. I bring nothing to the table. Nothing. Yeah, that's pretty simple. And when it starts to get complicated, when you get caught up in looking at you, when you get caught up in comparing you or aspects of your life with the aspects of other people's, no. That starts to get complicated, doesn't it? See? Okay, enough of that. Ephesians chapter 1. When we try to usurp Christ as head, problems are just simply going to ensue. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read some real familiar verses. Ephesians 1, we're going to pick it up in verse 17. This is a prayer. God had Paul record this by revelation, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding or of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, or to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. There's a lot of us's and we's in this section. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Isn't that something? Not only now, but in the ages to come. And hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He fills all things in all people. Isn't that beautiful? Kind of like what we just read in Colossians. Complete. Completely filled in him. Nothing lacking. We have everything we need in Christ. Ephesians chapter 5. I wanted to read this. Then we're going to go to Philippians. I love this because it's a great truth. It's a great principle in how we conduct ourselves in this body of Christ, one toward another. How we carry ourselves as saints, as sons of God, as brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in Ephesians chapter 5. And then it says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or the reverence of, and it should be Christ here, in the reverence of Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in reverence of Christ. How we conduct ourselves one toward another in this body of Christ is in awe or reverence of our head, which is Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And so I want to bring honor to my Lord. I want to bring honor to the head of this body in how I conduct myself with you. Isn't that simple? Let's go to Philippians now. Philippians chapter 1. You know, some of these verses were handled at this past family camp. And those teachings are online now. Well, let's just read. Verse 3 says, I thank, of chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship, or your participation, your fellowship, your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. See? All of us have believed on Jesus Christ, and our sharing together, our fellowship, really, it surrounds Jesus Christ, the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. That's it. It's not that we all think exactly alike, because we're going to read some verses in a moment about different things, but when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done and who we are because of what he's done, boy, we fellowship in that. Isn't that simple? So, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until, or continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That day of Jesus Christ, it's going to be a big day for us. Ha! Because that's the day when our Lord Jesus Christ, head of the body, is going to gather his body unto himself. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. We're gathered together. See, we fellowship around the gospel together. You know, in our sphere, this is what we build. This is what we do. We fellowship around that gospel regarding Jesus Christ. Let's go down to verse 27 of this chapter. And this was something that Sean handled, but I wanted to read this this past week in family camp. But verse 27, it says, only let your conversation, this word conversation is a word that means citizenship. And it really, the meaning of it, or the essence of this is to live as a citizen. Is to live as a citizen of the gospel, or as becometh the gospel of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast. It means stay put. just stay put. Stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together or contending together for the faith or the believing of the gospel. And it's that gospel regarding Jesus Christ. This is what we contend for. You know, sometimes experience has shown, certainly history has shown that those who are in Christ, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, have contended over almost everything but the gospel. You had those in Philippi here. They were striving for position. They were striving for recognition and honor. That was going on here in Philippi. You can read about it in chapter 2. But here, we contend for what? That believe the believing of the gospel regarding Jesus Christ. See, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that simple? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. We're almost done here. But I just think these things are so critical to understand, you know, when it comes to understanding the one body. And we're in the coming weeks we'll look at some things, you know, regarding the one body, members in particular, connected, a lot of wonderful truths. But it's all in light of Jesus Christ being Lord, Jesus Christ being head. Ephesians chapter 2. I love this section. Again, familiar, but I never get tired of reading this. Verse 19 of Ephesians 2, it says, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." It's just the opposite of strangers and foreigners. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." The reason why I wanted to read this verse, it's another beautiful illustration, what's being drawn here. But Jesus Christ, God has set him as the chief cornerstone. Now, cornerstones today are for show. But when this was written, you know, if that cornerstone was kittywampus, you end up with the Leaning Tower of Pisa. That's where they got plumb and level off of, that chief cornerstone. You had to set it right. It's really not a bad idea to do that today. But, you know, but this is what they worked off of. Do you understand? And it's Jesus Christ. It all comes off of Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. And these are things God has set. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the head of the body. Doesn't matter if I agree or not. He is Lord. Doesn't matter if I agree. He is Lord. God made him Lord. God made him head of the body. Isn't that simple? God made him chief cornerstone. You know, another place in Corinthians, it talks about no other foundation can be laid than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? Christ Jesus the Lord. So, verse 22, it says, "In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through Spirit." Let's go to Ephesians 4. I want to look at one more here. We're not going to read this whole section. Verse 7. Well, you know what I should read? Let's pick it up in verse 4. "There is one body, one spirit. You're called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord. There's one faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all." Verse 7. "But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ." See? Every one of us has received grace. Now, we'll look a little bit more of this perhaps next week or the week after. We're going to I want to start in Romans. But each one of us has been given grace. You know, it's one Lord, one God, one faith. But I want to get down here to verse 15. Rather than being children tossed to and fro, which it mentions in verse 14, but speaking the truth or truthing the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Isn't that something? We truth the truth, meaning we live the truth. But what I love in this verse is we're growing up into who? Christ, which is the head. See? That's, you know, my growth is in that direction. That's what I see when I read this verse. You know how a plant will, like this? You know, right, kind of heads toward the sun. Well, I'm heading toward Christ. See? Isn't that a neat way to see it? It's simple. Endeavoring to bring honor to my Lord out of reverence for Him. That's the way I'm going. Like, you know, world tries to pull you this way. It's like, I'm going left here. I'm going to Christ. That's where we want to stay put. See? Now, let's close in Romans 15. And I wanted to read this, and we'll probably revisit this verse at some point. But, you know, the problems that you read about in Corinth that were addressed in just a wonderful way. And, you know, the Corinthian church responded. So it's not like, you know, it's got a good end. they responded, which is just awesome. But there were problems, and at the crux of it was that they had walked away from Jesus Christ being Lord and being head. And they started to, rather than kind of, you know, growing toward Jesus Christ, they were getting caught up in, you know, other men and following this and following that and, you know, measuring each other by what they were following and so on. You ever hear such a thing? That's right. But the answer, the solution, and honestly, the solution to every problem is Christ. It really is. It sounds almost so simplistic, unenlightened. It must be more complicated than that. No, not really. It really is a solution. Do you need help in your marriage? You know what the solution is? I'll give you one guess. It's Christ. It's Christ. Isn't that something? What we have available to us. But when this stuff is believed, you know, where and when it's believed and it's understood, this is what it can look like. And this is where I wanted to close. In Romans chapter 15, it's verse 5. It says, Now, the God of, it should read, or could read, now the God of the patience and the consolation, or comfort, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to who?
Christ
Jesus. See? According to Christ Jesus. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? That glorifying God with one mouth, with one mind, is when we have Christ as our standard. Okay. It's not about the flesh. It's about Christ. Pretty cool. When we do that, when we hold Christ as head, we can get to the place where we with one mouth. You know, we're speaking the same thing regarding the gospel of Christ. You might have different opinions regarding 100 other things, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Christ. See? You may be a Boston Red Sox fan. I can pray for you. But that's not it. It's Christ. See, and I look at you as being worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at me as being worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? And we bring him honor, and we do this out of awe and reverence for our Lord, the head of this body. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to pray.